Welcome back, everyone. True Crime on Easy Street.
Part two.
Here we are. I'm Kelly Turner. I'm not a doctor.
Scott Wright, mediocre journalist.
Katie Givens, not a lawyer.
Yes, we are ready for part two of this insane story.
What's the title of this episode?
Why?
Skylar Niece.
Skylar Niece. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we still don't understand why this has happened.
We've gotten to the crazy part, but we don't have yet an explanation for the crazy part. Which
right.
Katie will give us today.
Yeah,
I mean, if you can explain this.
Yeah,
crazy.
Right.
Well, let me just make sure.
To the extent that you can.
You guys make sure I remembered everything.
Yeah, run us through.
All right, so we've got three girls, teenage girls. Mm-hmm. Sheila's the one with the car.
Yes.
They sneak out, smoke some weed, and then Rachel, 6 months later, or even longer.
6 months.
Says, we counted to three. We stabbed her to death.
Yes.
Out in the woods, somewhere in Pennsylvania, across the state line.
Yes.
They couldn't bury her. They left her body. They covered her with leaves and sticks. And there she laid for 6 months.
Yes.
Until they were able to, was it March or January that they were able to find her body?
January is when they found the body.
Yeah. Okay.
March is when they have released that they found the body.
And the whole time, we have Sheila tweeting various things that you went over last week. So if you've not listened to last week's episode, you need to stop.
Yes.
Go listen to it and then we'll wait for
this you. This is part two.
Yes. So she's tweeted all kinds of things. Her most recent tweet that you gave us last week was, we really did go on three.
On March 30th. Yes, we really did go on three. And then on March 31st, they say you remember the past better than it really was.
Wow. At this point in time, Rachel has confessed. Sheila doesn't know Rachel has confessed.
Yes.
But Rachel is still not giving them a really solid why they did this, other than they just didn't like her anymore.
That we didn't like her anymore.
And that this was planned in science class. Right?
That's right.
So have I missed anything?
No.
Can you imagine being those parents? Well, they're not aware yet of the confession. Are they at this point?
No. Okay. No.
So they're still thinking that her friends are just as worried and upset about this as they are.
Yes.
Wow.
Yes, they know that there's information. I mean, they know the body's been found.
Okay.
They know that there's information that they don't know because Dave Niece has some friends in the, you know, this small town. He knows people. And
sure.
They're like, Dave, you know, you'll know when you can know.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of. And he's like, tell me what's going on.
God, that's got to be so hard.
And they're like, we can't divulge information on an active investigation, you know. It's like, what's my daughter? And they're like, we get that, but we can't tell you what's going on. Because he knows that they have information. Like, and he can't get it. Yeah.
But they're not. They have been given strict orders, probably by the FBI at this point.
But that's what you do in any, I mean, you can't go around telling people what's going on in the investigation.
You're
going
to mess up your case.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to have justice.
Yeah. Until you're ready to make an arrest, you don't say anything.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, let's not get into like the Karen O'Keefe stuff. I don't know if y'all know about that case that's been going on. Well, that'll be a future episode. It's got to be.
All
but,
right.
You know,
Scott and I looked at each other with these blank looks.
What?
Like, what?
Crooked investigating.
So it sounds like Katie can do that one and Scott and I can be the two dummies.
Okay.
All right.
I feel like I am already.
Okay. So now where are we going from here?
Okay. So the months are going to pass by during this investigation. And the investigators, like I said, they've been sort of suspecting the girls. They knew that they weren't telling the whole truth. Certain investigators had, you know, a hunch that they were, certain investigators were like, they've murdered her.
Well, because we already pointed out two big lies that Sheila was telling about, first of all, the timeline and then the direction that they went.
Yes.
And that was proven wrong by cameras. Some cameras that were good, some that were not so good.
Nearby convenience store.
Yeah.
It was, they 100% knew the direction she went in, and she 100% said that she did not go that way. Attempts are going to be made by investigators after Rachel's confession to get Sheila to incriminate herself, because a confession by a co-conspirator, it cannot, I mean, you can't use that in trial. Like that's not enough to get Sheila on murder just because Rachel said they both did it.
Then you have Rachel says this, mm-hmm. Sheila says this.
Yes, that's not.
This, we talked about this when we did the West Memphis 3. Mm-hmm. We had the one confession with the three suspects.
Oh, that is such a great thing to bring up.
And Jesse, Miss Kelly then recanted the confession, but they couldn't use the fact that he had initially confessed against Damien and Kevin.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Confessions, because it's confession of a co-conspirator.
Was it Kevin?
I think so.
Damien? There's no Kevin in the West Memphis 3.
Damien.
Jason Baldwin, not Kevin Baldwin.
I was
Jason
like, wait
Baldwin.
A minute. Okay.
My bad. Yeah.
I was thinking I'm totally messed up on something.
I knew it was two syllables with an N.
Jason Baldwin.
Not you being like, I got one letter right.
Yeah. Our apologies.
I did get one letter right.
To Jason Baldwin.
Yes. Sorry, Jason.
So we are pretty sure, though, that Rachel's confession has not been coerced.
Oh, yeah, yeah. They don't think anything like that, but they know that.
This is probably why the mental breakdown.
Yes.
This hiding the secret.
This guilt.
And it's while she's in there that she...
Yes, because there's no coercion on... Like, she's confessed to her attorney, and her attorney takes... Then they bring in the police, and then she confesses again to the police.
With the attorney present.
With the attorney present.
Which is how you do it.
Yes. And she's already talked to her attorney first. Like, he's not hearing any of this for the first time.
And then the attorney's like, this is what we're going to do. You got to do the right thing. You got to...
Yes.
But also, we're going to try to help you out as well, because that's what your attorney does too.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
There's no misconduct on that part.
All right.
So one of their attempts to get Sheila to incriminate herself is to have Rachel wear a wire and go to Sheila's house.
Good Lord. This sounds like a bad, daytime crime show or something.
I'm sorry. She doesn't go to Sheila's house. They have Sheila come to Rachel's house.
Okay.
And they have officers hidden throughout the house. Like,
wow.
They're sitting on go, ready for, if Sheila.
And they really have a 16 or 17-year-old wired up with a mic.
Yes.
Is this common?
Now, Rachel,
I wouldn't think so.
Wow. I don't think we have a lot of 16-year-old girls murdering each other either.
We don't. You're right.
But, Rachel was in drama club. She wanted to be an actress and a singer, so.
Okay.
Here's your chance.
All right.
But she's trying to talk to Sheila about what they did, and Sheila is not having it.
She's not biting.
She's not biting. Okay. She's not going to talk about it. She's not admitting to anything. She is not cracking.
You wonder if Sheila was able in her mind just to kind of separate herself or just convince herself, or if we really are a sociopath. Or
you've already diagnosed her as a sociopath.
Like, do not care, no remorse.
And that's one of the characteristics of a sociopath. Yeah. You don't have any compassion for your fellow human beings.
No, and I can easily separate myself while being charming.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
Eventually, though, investigators are going to get enough to get a search warrant for Sheila's house.
Mm.
And they're going to go in and they're going to confiscate her computer, her phone, a tablet, knives from the kitchen.
Okay.
And a Toyota Camry, which is Sheila's car.
Okay.
Right, we got to the bottom of that finally.
Toyota Camry.
And a quick FBI analysis of the car is going to find Skylar's DNA all in the trunk of that vehicle.
Oh. Because I was going to say the back seat might be one thing. Because...
Mm-hmm.
They're friends, and you could have explained that as an attorney.
Yeah, not the trunk so much.
But the trunk is a different...
If they'd been thinking, they might have put her in the backseat.
Well, they didn't put her body in this trunk.
Okay.
They put the knives.
They put where they've cleaned up.
Okay.
And their bloody clothes and the knives. Yep. And maybe there might have been something on the shovel.
Yeah, that's right. She was already at the crime scene.
Yeah.
But there was enough blood in that trunk. I mean, I'm sure it lit up like Christmas. I'm sure she probably tried to clean it, but I don't think they understand that you don't. Like,
you can't clean all that up. Mm-hmm. There's no way you can clean up all the blood.
Yeah. So, and it is 100% Skylar's DNA. And there's not other people's DNA back there too. It is just Skylar's.
Wow.
So on May 1st, 2013, Sheila is going to be arrested. Now, the lead up to Sheila getting arrested is a little, I don't want to say funny, but She was supposed to go to prom with some friends. It wasn't even like a date with a boy. There was like a bunch of girls. They were going to go to prom together. Mm-hmm. Sheila was supposed to go get her hair done and meet these girls. And they had been talking, you know, on the phone, going over and over about, you know, prom plans.
Prom stuff.
So, but then they hear on the news that day about that a girl has confessed to the murder of Skylar Neese.
Uh-oh.
And that there's a possible co-conspirator involved. And it's all very cryptic.
Mm.
And then, because they're minors, so I'm sure they're not putting their names out on the news.
Right, right.
So,
and at this point in time, I'm sorry, is Rachel not a part of this prom talk? Is she now not going to the school? Or
and
what's
this is
going
a different
on?
School's prom.
Okay.
Oh, it's not her own school's prom.
Oh, I got you. Friends from another. Okay. Yes, okay.
And so Sheila's like going as like, I guess technically like a date of someone, but it's said to be all
the plus friend to someone. Yeah.
So yes, no, Rachel's not involved in this group, but they hear about that a girl has been arrested.
Okay.
And that there's talks of another girl involved. So they're trying to call Sheila. You know, hey, they've arrested someone in Skylar's case. Like, do you know anything about this? And they can't get Sheila on the phone. And that is not a normal thing to not be able to get Sheila on the phone.
Mm.
Well, the first girl that was arrested was, they had taken Rachel back into custody. And then now they're looking for Sheila. Sheila is going to be found in an Olive Garden parking lot. Her and her mom had eaten and they were leaving. And it looks like they're trying to skip town.
Hmm.
That is what some say. Some say no, they were just... But because Sheila was supposed to be going to a hair appointment for the prom, they're kind of seen headed out of town at this Olive Garden. I don't know, though, if you're trying to skip town, why you'd stop at an Olive Garden.
Yeah, that makes no sense.
So I think that's...
Seems like they were just living their life. Did her mother have any idea of any of this?
It's
that's the question, right?
Yeah.
It's theorized that they... But she probably did. I don't know if it's ever proven that she did or not. I mean, because the one thing is, why wouldn't they have got rid of that car?
Yeah.
If her mom knew.
So do you think Sheila just served up a lie and her mother just bought it?
I think so.
Okay.
But also there's talk, did Rachel's mom know?
Hmm.
Because there's a...
Well, she definitely does now.
Well, there's a thing...
At this point, dime in the story.
When Rachel's having her breakdown, Rachel's mom goes, we can't do this anymore. Like on the phone when she's like calling, like, no, Rachel, we can't do this anymore. But I don't know if it had, she was having out, Rachel had been having outbursts.
So maybe she just meant that.
It seems like she's with her moods and her outbursts. Yeah, and
neighbors had like reported like hearing like screaming from that house and Rachel was like beating up her mother to an extent, like being physically abusive to her mother.
Yeah.
So that could have been what she meant.
That's probably what she meant. I would think, but I don't know.
And so they're going to arrest Sheila. And in the cop car, she is going to say, am I going to make my hair appointment?
Good Lord.
Or I have a hair appointment or something to that. And they're like, you're not going to make that hair appointment. And she's just like looking out the window like,
Here goes the prom trip.
Like there's no emotion to Sheila as she's being arrested. It's all, what are y'all doing? What do y'all mean? You've got, not me.
No admission that the game is up.
No, no.
Right.
Doesn't even look scared or concerned or.
No.
Wow.
Sociopath.
Yeah.
They're both going to be charged as adults.
Yeah, I would say so. Yeah.
And Sheila is going to originally plead not guilty. She had several charges, and there was talk that if it went to trial, they would add more charges. And at that point, with those extra charges, there would be no getting out of prison ever. Like,
are we looking at a capital offense here, or is that...
No, we're not looking at a capital offense on either of these, and I think that might be due to age.
Okay. But if they're being tried as an adult, does age still factor
in? I still think it factors in.
It would be very difficult as a prosecutor to get a jury to send even though they're being tried as an adult, to send a 16 or 17 year old girl to the death chamber of whatever it is.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't you guys think
Virginia have the death penalty?
I don't know. That's also
I'm guessing that they do.
I mean, I would think so, but
I need to know this.
But that would be a concern of mine if I were a prosecutor.
Well, I think if I was the prosecutor, though, I would leave it up to the jury to decide.
Okay.
Oh, they don't have. But
okay.
They did at the time. Abolished it in 2021.
But it was an option, certainly, in 2013 or 14. What year are we in?
We're
now?
In 13 still.
13 still.
Yeah. May of 2013.
Okay. Is when they're arrested. Yes. So she is going to end up pleading guilty to first degree murder. So we don't have trials.
Okay, so that gets taken off
cases.
The table. Yes. All that gets taken. So that's probably the work of the attorney,
right? Which they can tell you. I mean, they can tell you anything when they're leading up to charging you. Like, oh, we're gonna really put it to you if you don't work with us here.
Yeah.
I mean,
and they may not
confess to the crime, and we will take the death penalty off the table,
even if it wasn't ever going to be
ever
on the table.
You know, because that's up to the prosecutor, correct?
Uh huh.
Yeah,
so, and that's who they're dealing with making these deals. So they're telling her, you know, if you plead guilty, we'll just have this first degree murder charge.
Sure.
So that's what they do. And on January 24th, 2014, so we've rolled into the new year. We're roughly 18 months after Skylar has passed. Sheila is going to be sentenced to life in prison.
Okay. Do we get parole?
We are eligible for parole in 15 years.
Sheila.
Yes. That's how the system works with the sentence.
Same in Alabama.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eligible after 15 years. Now, Rachel is going to plead guilty to second degree murder, a lesser charge based on her cooperation. So,
but it's very interesting. You know, I go back to the West Memphis 3, and the story was that Jesse went and got one of the boys that tried to run, brought him back.
Mm-hmm.
And so they were using that to put him exactly, you know, just as guilty.
Yeah.
He's charged with the death of that child. They're going to charge her who actually went and got somebody and drug them back because she got injured doing it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. With second degree.
Yep.
But that has to be because of her confession and leading him to the body and the deal.
Yep. That was based on her cooperation, based on the fact that she gave them Sheila.
Wow.
And led them to the body.
Led them to the body. Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And I mean, that probably all had to do with she must have had a good attorney
because,
you know, her attorney took her in to confess. He was there the whole time.
Yeah. Did his job.
Yep.
But, and also, they wouldn't know any of this. I believe Skylar would still be a missing person to this day.
Maybe.
If she had not confessed, because it's very obvious Sheila was never going to say anything.
I don't know if they would have ever eventually ran across the body. Maybe the next summer when Snow had...
But then the trees bloom and the leaves come out and...
I mean, you never...
Yeah, they said it was very secluded.
When's a good time to find a body in the woods? Seasonally speaking.
Rachel even had a hard time leading them back to where it was. Mm-hmm. Like, she wasn't exact because they had run around. And then when they tried to dig the hole, they couldn't dig the hole. And they had moved her to a place that had more, I guess, sticks and leaves to cover.
And it was at night. Yes. It's in the middle of the night.
And she's a 16-year-old girl and she's only been there once.
Yes.
In the dark.
And we were talking about this obviously is not a heavily hunted area, or at least during this time. I don't.
Yeah, it doesn't
mean that it isn't. You know, during the fall,
a hunting season had passed.
Yeah, so there were had not. Okay, so I don't know.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you know, now that I don't know why they were charged in Virginia. Now that I'm talking about that, because I think that we established the murder took place in Pennsylvania. I don't know how that works.
Interesting.
I guess I'm going on down a rabbit hole. That doesn't really matter.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
I guess they were assuming. Well, no, they were in
Pennsylvania.
I guess when
it started out as a missing persons case.
I guess when she got in the car with them, that's where they're going from, because it was technically.
I just know, you know, we've done several cases here to where, you know, we had to decide where the murder took place, whether it was in Georgia or Alabama, to know where we were charging them.
That's true.
Obviously, there was some sort of agreement between the folks in Virginia and the folks in Pennsylvania. Yeah. Hey, if you guys are going to prosecute this case, we'll let you have it.
Yeah, state police involved, FBI involved.
Already involved.
Yeah. Oh, and you said something about a...
When I said West Virginia, I said... I keep saying Virginia, but they're West Virginia.
So,
West Virginia definitely has the death penalty.
There was this bank robbery, which is why these upper-level investigators got involved anyway.
Well, it's a good thing they did.
Yeah, definitely. Whatever came of the bank robbery?
You know what? I don't know.
But that
I think
had,
they caught the guy who was...
Okay,
who
but
was,
that had nothing to do with this to do. Whatsoever. No. It's just how they got involved. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. And like I said, there was a... Because, you know, there were so many rumors about were they at a party? And I think maybe the guy who robbed the bank, you know, because they bought weed. And I think that's where all these rumors got involved, is because they knew maybe where people were, they had purchased these drugs and that knew these other people. But I think that's a very loose, I think they had a very loose connection.
And it's such a small area. This, you know, we understand that small town.
Yeah.
Things get linked that really have no business getting linked or, you know.
Yeah. No, nothing ever came of the bank robbery. It was a major red herring in this case.
Oh, okay. All right. But at least got the state police involved.
And they made some common sense decisions regarding evidence collection that the local authorities had not.
Well, it's how we got the video footage.
Yeah, that's what I mean.
And the diary.
And the diary.
Yeah.
Which, and this was months after.
Did the diary lead to, was there anything super significant about an argument or?
In the diary, you could tell that Skylar and the girls were having issues.
Okay.
But the, you know, the parents said that they gave Skylar a lot of privacy. Like they would have never went through her diary. They would have, you know, they didn't really, they didn't go even go through her social media. They didn't they had never read these tweets that they tweeted.
It would seem that she really didn't give them a reason to do that.
That's what they said. They said she was a good kid and we had no reason to think we needed to go through her things or, so we didn't.
Yeah.
So if you, some of those tweets I read, like she cussed on Twitter. She said the F word in one of them, you know, like they're not, her parents are not reading this. But in the diary, you could tell that the friends were having a tumultuous time, that Skylar felt left out.
But there was no reason for that.
There is one page in the diary. And I don't remember if I talk about this later on, so I'll just go ahead and talk about it now.
I'm sorry.
I'm not sure. So there's a page in the diary that Skylar mentions that she was staying the night with the two girls and that Sheila and Rachel just start making out in front of her. And like, she's, I think she might describe it as they were just hooking up right in front of me. And I was like, y'all stop. And then I tried to leave and they were like, I couldn't leave for some reason. Or we know she didn't have a car.
Sleepover scenario.
And so she was stuck in the room with them. And
there's your reason right there.
And they're doing
this. Made her uncomfortable, I guess.
Yes. And she said in her diary, she's written like never again, because it just made her so uncomfortable that they put her in that situation. She's like, I don't care, you know, what they do, but why do they have to put me in this situation? And
were those girls dating?
As we know of right this second, they say no.
Okay.
That they were not dating. And Sheila had boyfriends in and out.
Rachel had a boyfriend.
And Rachel,
did she not?
And I think Rachel had, like one boyfriend throughout the whole thing, I think. And Sheila's like, I think, you know, Sheila's talking to a boy here and a boy there.
Gotcha.
And I think Skylar liked boys too, but it never mentions her having a boyfriend.
Well, this will clearly make an awkward situation for a group of friends.
Yes.
It didn't have to
be anything more complicated than that.
Right. You're right.
If you're dealing with a sociopath.
Exactly.
But Rachel, like I said, she's getting that second degree murder charge. And so she's sentenced to 30 years.
Okay.
And she becomes eligible for parole after 10.
Okay.
So 5 years before.
Mm-hmm.
And
so that's happened, right?
Her parole hearing. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay.
She came up for parole last year.
Last year. But it's 10. Yeah.
I'll go into her parole hearing. But the only one who has ever offered an apology is Rachel.
Really?
Rachel apologized to Skylar's parents during her plea deal during before her sentencing was released. And Sheila, though, was said to have shown no remorse. Skylar's aunt has gone on record to talk about how Sheila came over to their house, acted like she knew nothing.
Mm-hmm.
She stayed with them.
Cried on Skylar's bed.
Mm-hmm. Comforted them, swore she had no idea what was going on. Like, would just come over and say, I just want to be around her family because I just miss her so much.
Whew, that is cold-blooded.
And at her sentencing, at Sheila's sentencing, her attorney is going to give a statement on behalf of her and her family.
She probably does, wise.
Yeah, she doesn't even offer a statement herself. And her the statement is as follows. Sheila Eddy and her family recognize the niece family is in constant state of despair, loneliness, and sadness. For that, Sheila Eddy and her family are and will be eternally sorry. We hope all families tragically affected can move forward in a more peaceful and hopeful way.
Pretty generic.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Standard, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, but definitely don't want your client speaking at this point, especially if she's coming off as cold and no remorse and just, I feel like she would sound like Patty Hearst.
Mm-hmm. Defiant almost.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah.
She, how could she be in the wrong?
Yeah, definitely. Ugh.
Today, both of these, well, they're women now, they are at the Lakin Correctional Center in West Virginia.
Okay.
And like I said, Rachel was eligible for parole last year, and she was obviously denied. Mm. But during her parole hearing, she did have a lot to say. She confirmed what had been long suspected, that her and Sheila were in a romantic relationship and that Skylar knew about it, and they were both worried Skylar was going to out them. Even though there's no evidence saying that Skylar ever threatened to do that.
Mm-hmm.
She obviously didn't quit hanging out with them. She was hanging out. She went voluntarily with them that night to hang out.
And there's no record or anyone coming out saying that she had said that to anyone, told anybody about that scenario.
Yeah, but go back to what you said about the stuff in the diary, that there obviously was some tension between the three of them. So if the other two are worried, hey, she's got this that she's holding over our head.
Yeah.
She could drop this bomb and screw up our lives at any time.
True.
And that's what you think when you're a teenager.
True.
That's the most important thing in the world to you.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I guess at the time it is.
And you're in West Virginia in 2012.
Yeah.
So probably not an easy thing to be out.
Mm-hmm. Not a lot of rainbow flags flying in West Virginia even today, I would imagine.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that.
But yeah, so I guess you're right. That's as good a reason as any. It's not a great reason, but you think about the age of the girls.
But it's motive, and there's your motive.
Yeah, it is a motive. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well,
the parole board obviously didn't care.
No.
About that. They denied.
No, yes, she gives more of a statement. She's going to stay. After things became known with the relationship, there was tension between us.
Okay. Okay.
And it was hostile and violent. In our teenage minds, we didn't know how to handle the conflict, and we just wanted it to stop.
And the easiest way they could think of was kill her.
Right. Like, and there are, I'm not exactly sure where all this info was, if it was in the diary or if friends had talked, but they were getting into fights, especially like Skylar and Sheila. Like, there was a mention of like one grabbing one's phone from the other and then one slapping the other one. Mm-hmm. And they had gotten a physical on a few occasions.
The friendship had forever been altered.
Mm. Yeah. And Skylar's dad, he makes a statement at the parole board hearing too. He says, "This narcissist, first-degree, cold-blooded killer, is not sorry for the brutal murder of my only child. I wasn't there to defend my baby girl from this diabolical killer on July 6, 2012, but I'm here today to do everything within my power to make sure she stays behind bars."
Mm.
And like I said, Rachel's going to be denied parole.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think I went into this earlier, but when Skylar's dad is going to find out what happened, this is before the girls are arrested. He is said to, he loaded up his truck and he was headed to find Sheila Eddy.
Mm.
And he's getting calls from his friends and they're
he's probably going to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said that was his exact intention.
Sure.
I mean, and, yeah.
And that he gets calls and calls from his friends and they're like, what are you doing? What are you doing? He's like, y'all know what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, what about Mary?
Which is his wife.
And who's, and they're like, you know, if Skylar's gone and then you'll be gone. And then
and they have no more children.
Yeah. He's like, what's Mary going to do? And that's the only thing that snapped him out of it. He's mm-hmm. like, God, I wasn't even thinking about her, mm-hmm. honestly, at the time. He's like, I just was so upset. Mm. He's like, I wasn't worried about going to prison. He's like, I was ready to go.
Yeah. Are he and Mary still married today?
They are.
Which is kind of odd. I mean, it's great, mm-hmm. but you see a lot of when a family experiences something like this and mm-hmm. then they don't stay together. That's right. So they obviously have been able to support each other mm-hmm. throughout the years.
Yeah, I'll go into a little more of what's going on today after these words from our sponsors.
Scott, how healthy are you feeling today?
I feel healthy. I probably don't look healthy.
Okay, well, yeah, there's a reason I'm asking you. Have you heard about Cherokee Family Healthcare?
I drive by it every day.
Every day. Well, maybe go in sometime and get, you know, just checked out.
Is that a hint?
Yeah. Connie Geimer is an acute emergency and family nurse practitioner, mm-hmm. along with Piper Pierce, who's a family and psychiatric mental health nurse practitioner. They offer a variety of services there, from primary health care to mental health, urgent care, DOT physicals, weight loss, IV hydration. They have same day appointments. You can call and get that scheduled, or walk-ins are welcome.
Go ahead and give me the number.
I'm going to give it to you right now. It's 256-266-1021. They are Cherokee Family Healthcare, located at 819 West Main Street, Suite A, right here in Center, Alabama. What a lovely place, right?
Absolutely.
And a lovely group of people. I really think a lot of Connie.
Yeah,
and
she's a big fan of the show, too.
She is. We appreciate Connie, and I appreciate her gift to our community. Hey, guys, do you know what time it is?
Tell us.
It's time to plan your best vacation ever, right here in beautiful Cherokee County, Alabama.
Many outdoor adventures await. You can wet a hook in beautiful Weiss Lake, swing away at Cherokee Pines Golf Club, climb to the best view around at Cherokee Rock Village, hike the Little River Canyon National Preserve, take a day's long splash at Pirates Bay Water Park, and there's so much more.
The Cherokee County Chamber of Commerce and Tourism has a full list of recommended lodging facilities, RV sites, and campgrounds, and they're all set up to suit your vacation needs, whatever they may be.
So come see us from wherever you are located. And if you already live right here in Cherokee County, then plan your summer staycation with the Chamber by visiting cherokee-chamber.org.
Guys, we want to let you know that don't forget that Easy Street is now open for lunch 5 days a week, Tuesday through Saturday, yeah, at 11.
Great lunch menu.
Mm, let's do lunch.
Brand new. We've shared it on our Facebook page, and I know that Shane has also shared it on the Easy Street Facebook page, so it's mm-hmm. easy to find the menu, and it's terrific. Everything on it.
Yes. What's your favorite thing, Scott?
I like the hamburger steak with the mashed potatoes. The mashed potatoes are better than I can make, and I make pretty darn good mashed potatoes.
No, they are.
They're terrific.
Mm-hmm. Katie, so what's your favorite? Yeah. I like, well, you can get a flatbread pizza. Mm-hmm. I also like just the chicken fingers.
Yeah, chicken fingers are mm-hmm. great. Best chicken fingers in town. How about mm-hmm. you, Kelly?
I like the rice bowl with the chicken and the
yeah.
vegetables.
It's all good.
Yum yum sauce.
Ooh.
So delicious. You're not going to go wrong. Salad bar's always fresh. Mm-hmm. Yes. Have lunch at Easy Street. You might see us there one day.
Yeah, you never know. 11 to 2 every day is when the menu prices on the lunch menu are.
That sounds right.
That's right. Something like that. Everything that comes out of that swinging door is delicious at Easy Street, we promise.
Yes. Thank you to Easy Street for being our primary sponsor, our main sponsor. Yeah.
Thanks, Shane. Go eat lunch.
Yes. Yes.
Come see us.
Would you like to be a sponsor of True Crime on Easy Street? If the answer is yes, we have a very simple process.
I feel like I've heard it before, but tell me again.
Okay. So you send us an email. Our email address is truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. All lowercase, all one word. We don't need any uppercase letters. We're not fancy.
Why are you telling me that? I know how email works.
Well, I'm just being cautious.
And you know, it's pretty cheap too. It's only $30 a month if you'd like to be a sponsor. And we've only got a couple of slots. We don't want to inundate our listeners with ads. So we just have a couple of slots available come and hang out with us every Wednesday here at True Crime on Easy Street.
Correct. So send us an email and we'll give you the opportunity to customize your ad. We won't sit up here and just blab on if you don't want us to.
Like
or
we're
we
doing
might.
Now.
We might. I mean, it depends on what you want.
Exactly.
The customer is always right. So send us an email. We'll get back with you very quickly. And we can get you set up for the low price of $30 a month. And that's cheaper than any radio ad, any newspaper ad.
Yeah, we have about, what, 300 listeners every week on this show? Is
we
that the right number?
We have more than that.
Is it more than that
yeah,
now?
Yeah.
So the last time I heard it was only 300.
You can expand your audience.
Like we've expanded ours.
Yeah, using our platform. So give us an email at truecrimeoneasystreet@gmail.com. Thank you to all of our sponsors. All right, Katie, let's have a conclusion here.
Okay. So, like I said, Sheila and Rachel are now at Lakin Correctional Center in Mason County, West Virginia.
Okay.
And Sheila is going to come eligible for parole for the first time in 2028, and Rachel will be eligible again in 2028.
So it's every 5 years. That's pretty standard.
Going
right?
to do...
Yeah, after the first 15. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
yeah.
So we'll...
And from everything I've read recently, it really seems like Rachel will probably get parole.
At that point.
At 15 years, yeah. Mm-hmm. So she'd be in 15.
She'd be half her time she was sentenced to.
So she's still dealing with mental health issues.
Not that I okay. know no, of.
That was a standalone episode.
Very situational.
Right. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. This prison that they're in has been referred to as Camp Cupcake.
Ah.
Oh.
And it has a reputation for being pretty cushy. It's the only female prison in West Virginia, too. But I guess, I mean West
yeah,
Virginia probably has less people than Alabama.
Yeah. Where else yeah. are you going to send them then if that's the only game in the state?
Yeah.
I don't know. But mm-hmm. I mean, definitely Tutwiler in Alabama is not referred to that.
No, because I feel like if there were multiple women's prisons, they wouldn't be at the same one.
Right. That's true.
These inmates are allowed music and gaming systems. They have tablets.
So gaming systems?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like wow.
Video games, I guess. They have tablets so that they can contact family and friends whenever.
Wait. Whenever.
Yeah, like they have like free communication, really, from these tablets that they have.
For West Virginia to be such a poor state, it sounds like they spend a lot of money in their women's correctional program.
Yeah.
They have more freedoms than middle schoolers.
You're not wrong.
Yeah. I'm not wrong.
Yeah. You're right.
Holy crap.
And now different inmates have different restrictions. So like Rachel and Sheila have some more restrictions compared to other prisoners due to like the violent nature of their crimes.
What the hell are they? They can have a gaming system and a tablet and call their friends and family whenever they want.
Well, so there are different jobs in this prison. And one of them is they have dog training.
Oh.
Like some of the prisoners do. They help train these dogs, but violent offenders can't be around the animals.
That seems fair enough. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But they've both been able to get an education and they have degrees in culinary arts. Rachel also has a cosmetology license and she leads prayer group, choir, and holiday plays at the facility.
Rachel. Or Sheila?
Rachel.
Okay. You know, a lot of that I don't disagree with.
Yeah, it's better to rehabilitate them than to just lock them up like we do here in Alabama.
Right,
don't do anything to help them get back into society after they get out.
Right. It seems like there could be a happy medium.
Mm-hmm.
Seems like this is like
yeah.
too lenient and too much comfort.
Well, when you get a name like Camp Cupcake, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably.
Versus the other side of the spectrum, which is Tutwiler,
mm-hmm.
you know, where you might be raped.
Yeah.
By, you know, whoever there.
Horribly overcrowded.
Seems like we could find a happy medium.
Yeah.
I don't, but I am for the prison jobs and everybody has a job and even getting an education.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
no, I agree. I am.
Yeah,
but
100%.
The other stuff, the technology.
The tablets are wild.
And I guess they're just trying to control. Using that as an element of controlling the population, but I don't, that's just so strange to me.
I don't know. I mean, I can only imagine that 50 years ago, people were screaming, they've got a library in the prison?
I guess so. But to be able to make calls.
Well, sure.
And access to social media.
But even in Alcatraz, they had radios in their prison cells so they could listen to the baseball games.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know if they have access to social media.
Okay. Okay.
I don't know how much the tablets have. I think the tablets are more just for communication. Maybe they have like a messaging system on it.
Okay.
Maybe I didn't get fully into it.
I think that's part of the, that's part of recidivism reduction. The more opportunities you give them to be a normal person,
Then you get out and you can live.
The less likely they are to end up back in prison again after they get out.
I just don't agree with the gaming system.
I don't know. I don't have a problem with it.
Dadgum. Like I said, they have more freedom than middle school.
Yeah, but it's also something you can take away from someone who misbehaves. Because that's what they did with the library privileges at Alcatraz. Mm-hmm. And
you
the radios.
All of those if you...
They give you just a little bit of rope, and then if you hang yourself...
They take it away. I mean, okay.
I get it. But, you know, probably every prison in the country is different. It depends on the warden and the budget and whether he's more concerned about rehabilitating criminals or punishing criminals.
Mm-hmm. But you know what? To me, if I were Dave and Mary Niece... This would be a slap in the face to know that my tax dollars pay for them to. That would be such a difficult situation to be in.
As a parent, I wouldn't blame them if they felt that way. But as somebody who lives in the state of, as one of the 1.76 million people, I looked it up a second ago, who live in the state of West Virginia, don't you want to see that your prison system is being run in a way
definitely
that gives you
better.
A chance to...
Yeah, definitely better
to have
than,
a better society because it exists.
You're right.
Yeah.
It's just a... It's a terrible situation. I just is it justice? What's justice? Mm.
That is one of the hardest questions.
I guess that's the question I keep going back to.
Yeah.
What is justice? And I don't know. It's a good thing I don't have to define that for anybody. I don't need to.
Yeah, same here.
But I totally get your point. It's definitely probably I would rather have that scenario than Tutwiler.
Mm-hmm. Well,
any day.
A lot of this info that we get is from another inmate that was in prison with them some, and she's come out and she actually reached out to the family and wanted to, you know, just to, you know, she said, if you have any questions you want me to answer about what's going on, you know, about how they live their lives there.
Mm. How much do we believe everything she says? So all of this is coming from her. So
some of, well, this, like, I guess more of what I'm saying after this is coming from her. She says because this case was so high profile that the two girls are basically the two most famous inmates there.
I'm sure they are.
Yeah.
And they receive stacks and stacks of fan mail.
I'm not shocked by that.
Mm.
And she says that because of their fans, even if their families were not in the picture, but they both have families, that they would never be without because they get
money
sent
on their commissary or whatever.
Yeah, they
called.
Get sent things all the time. And she also describes Sheila. Most of the things, though, she's saying really checks out. She describes Sheila as Queen Bee in prison.
I'm sure she's thriving there.
That she's thriving. She's got her little posse that's always with her.
Okay.
And, you know.
Maybe they won't stab her one day.
Or maybe they will.
I mean, you know.
Sheila.
They have a lot of freedoms there. Probably get a shank pretty easily.
Yeah. Well, the only real rule in this prison is that the inmates, they can't touch each other. They're not supposed to be physical with
policed?
Each other. How is anything policed, I guess, but yeah.
Yeah.
They can't touch each other. Do they have cellmates?
Yes.
How does that work?
Yeah. Well, great.
How do you get a cosmetology degree?
And not touch someone? Mm-hmm. Good question.
I guess there's an exception in that classroom.
Yeah. Well, this didn't stop Rachel from falling in love with her cellmate, Amy Cobb.
Okay.
Amy was a former nurse practitioner who had got arrested for credit card theft and fraud.
Okay.
And something I'd read, I don't know how accurate this was like literally like the amount she stole was like hundreds of dollars. Like it wasn't.
And how does she find herself in the same cell with a murderer?
Right.
That's very strange.
That's my, yeah. But then, you know, and ends up falling in love.
Well, I didn't know this was a love story, Katie. I just didn't.
That was the shock. That's the cliffhanger.
Yeah. Yeah.
They are going to get married. after Amy is released because they can't get married while they're both in prison, but it's perfectly fine to get married if one is out and one is in.
I mean, it happens all the time.
But they are going to get a divorce in 2022, so you can get married and divorced while
I'm shocked it didn't work out.
Yeah. That didn't last long.
Bless her, though. I tried to find some more
Maybe
about-
Amy wised up and... Is that what happened? Maybe.
I'm not even certain that she initiated this divorce. I kept trying to find more on Amy. Mm. It doesn't look like Amy's doing so well.
Oh, man. That was actually going to be my next statement. I hope Amy is doing well. But
from what I could find. And so maybe she's doing better now.
She was not rehabilitated.
Wow, that's a kick in the teeth that your incarcerated spouse is the one who files for divorce.
Whew, that's a low point.
That's
I don't know if it's the lowest, but it's a low point.
Gotta be down there.
That's woof.
And you know, and Rachel's obviously come out as a lesbian and said, you know, she felt a lot of shame associated with that as she was younger, and she was, you know, I think she did a lot of praying on the matter. You know, cause she's very religious, and she felt like her parents wouldn't accept her and her church wouldn't accept her because let us not forget. I think I might have skipped over this. After this murder happened,
okay,
Rachel is going to leave the next day and go to church camp.
You did leave that part
out. You left that part out. Wow. Attended church camp.
Sheila's going to go on. One of the reasons that the murder took place on the day it did was so that they could get it out of the way before
church camp.
Before church camp.
Good gracious. Wow.
And... Wow. Rachel's going to go on to say that she was really trying to get out of it. And she thought that if she was like, oh, you know, I got to go to church camp. We're not going to have time. And that she was like, no, we'll just go ahead and do it this day. That way we get it out of the way before you have to leave.
The way they're talking about this, like washing your bed sheets or, you know, let's do this before you go to camp. Mm-hmm. So we get it out of the way.
Yeah. Rachel claims she tried to get out of it, but that doesn't really appear that she tried to get out of it.
Well, she went through with it.
She went through
whether she tried to get out of it or not, she went through with it.
And then she goes to church camp like
and then goes
happened.
To church camp. But the guilt does eventually get to her, which it doesn't Sheila. So that tells you the difference in I don't think I would call I know Dave Neese did, and of course he has every right to think what he wants about and feel what he wants about these two murderers. I don't necessarily feel like Rachel is a antisocial
killer.
Yeah, it obviously it's because of her remorse and because of her guilt that they even were able to know what happened.
There's a Dr. Phil episode.
Oh, great!
With a cousin of Sheila's is on there.
Oh yeah,
and she says my cousin, she's not a psychopath.
Oh, okay.
Then Dave Neese says, "How can you say that? She's absolutely a psychopath."
she
I'm with Dave on that.
Definitely
one.
Has some of the major symptoms of it. Mm-hmm. So we'll leave it at that.
Mm-hmm.
I ran across this clip on TikTok. Mm-hmm. I was just looking to see if there was any tidbits I could find on TikTok, and then this Dr. Phil episode has popped up, and Dr. Phil's like, you know, Dave's kind of he's attacking what this girl has said. She's like,
sure.
This was, you know, my cousin. I knew her this way. We would talk about this. And, you know, she doesn't really talk about what happened or what went on. And she's not a psychopath like a lot of people say. And Dave's like, how could you? She is a psychopath.
Mm-hmm.
And then Dr. Phil's like, we're not, you know, we're of course not saying you had anything to do with this because this random cousin's just out of nowhere on Dr. Phil. And Dave's like, no, I'm sorry. You know, they're just, Skylar's parents are just such nice people.
Yeah.
As
well, and he is forever defending his daughter.
Mm-hmm.
But as he said in the parole hearing, he wasn't there to help her that night. So he's just going to. So anything that is said that he feels like needs to be defended, he's going to jump on it as any good father would.
Well, he's right about her being a sociopath.
He's right.
The end.
I think so.
The end.
But I'm not a doctor, but I think I got a little too close to the mic there. Sorry. But anyways, I don't know. People don't go on Dr. Phil.
It was very odd. I mean, like just the random cousin of it all.
Yeah. Leave it to them to dig up a family member.
But
one family member that will talk.
You know, if you live in West Virginia, I mean, that's a free trip to New York City.
Mm-hmm.
Nice hotel.
Do they pay and
picks
put you
up at the airport? Sure.
Oh, yeah. You don't have to pay for anything.
All expenses paid for two or three days.
To come let Dr. Phil Apple. Make an ass of you for mm-hmm. an hour mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah.
For ratings.
Yeah. Great.
But on a happier note.
Good. Let's have some happy.
Yeah, let's have a happy note
I don't know if we'll call it happy, but it's a positive note.
Okay.
Since Skylar's death, her parents have helped pass Skylar's Law.
Okay.
Which requires Amber Alerts to be released for all missing children in West Virginia, even if they aren't believed to have been
kidnapped. So she's the reason why that changed.
In West Virginia anyway, and I think it's kind of spread out now.
Awesome.
But yeah, even if they aren't believed to have been kidnapped.
Yes.
Amber Alert
goes out right then.
I think that might have been, I guess that used to have been the correct. Well, that's what I said. If they didn't think you were kidnapped immediately, the wait mm-hmm. was 48 hours.
Otherwise, it's fucking pointless.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And study after study has shown that those first 48 hours are the most mm-hmm. important.
Yeah.
And as we know, it would have done no good in this case.
No, not in this one.
But, that's but true. It could help others, which is. Yeah.
But if there had been someone, say they did go to a party mm-hmm. and that went out, you may have pressured someone to mm-hmm. to come forward mm-hmm. immediately.
And they've also created a memorial in the wooded area where her body was found. Mm-hmm. And they say it's lovely. There's a bench, I think. And mm-hmm. it has a little mailbox where people leave her letters. And Dave's quoted saying that she loved getting mail. Mm-hmm. And he's like, I feel bad because I come and I read. He said, I read her mail because it's, you know, it's all addressed to her.
Yeah.
So he's like, I read her mail. And like there's a full podcast on this that's, you know, several parts. And there's some audio in it where it's called Three. If you want to go listen to that, it's really well done. But there's some audio in that where he's like reading one of the letters and it's from a little girl and it's like, I'm sorry this happened to you. I love you. I hope, you know,
mm-hmm.
it's just.
What a great way to remember her. And I'm glad that he can, that's his outlet, his mm-hmm. way to cope and deal with it.
Yeah.
Mm. That's got to be, I can't imagine what it's like to be Dave and Mary niece.
Mm-mm.
Mm.
No, but they are still together and they say, Mary says, people have asked me, how did y'all manage to stay together? And she's like, I don't know how we would have managed not to stay together. Mm. We're all we have.
All you have is each other.
And we mm-hmm. are the ones who remember Skylar best. And
yeah, they know what the other one is going through. Mm-hmm. That's their, you know, partner in that grief, which is horrible, but also mm-hmm. great to have support.
Yes, it's great.
Like that they have each other. So, well, dang, Katie, that was a good one. Our hearts go out to her family and man, I don't even know what I would do.
No,
mm-hmm.
no. And I mean, I've had, you know, girlfriend groups of three.
Yeah.
And you know,
you get in a fight.
Yeah.
But the option is never kill the other person. Yeah,
I've fought, you know, especially when I was like this age, we'd fight all the time mm-hmm. about something.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes Katie still fights about things.
Oh, Lord.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Katie. And you guys out there, tell us what you think about this. Check out the other podcast, Three. Check out the documentaries. What else, Scott? Follow us on social media.
Yeah. The social media that we still update, which would be Facebook and Instagram at this point. We're not fiddling with Twitter or X or
whatever
X or whatever the hell it is anymore. We're not doing that. So check us out on Facebook every week. We update it daily, almost like I said, usually some sort of crime related link. If I can find something, I'll update it. Anything related to crime in Alabama, we always try to keep you updated about that. So follow us on Facebook. Mm-hmm. We're trying to get to 1,000 listeners. We're all our followers on Facebook.
Oh, okay.
We're almost there. So keep doing that. Give us a 5-star review on your podcast platform of choice.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Which we hope you will choose as Spotify, which now you are able to leave comments.
Yeah, you can leave comments on
Spotify
on
as
Apple
of last
iTunes
Tuesday.
Or Spotify, and we'll give you a shout out.
Do that, and we will be glad to hear from you and come back and listen to us next week. Is that it, guys?
That's it.
Good night, everybody.